الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد، we are going to continue what we started yesterday. I am going to explain the format today, and I promise the sisters that I will increase the number of the time, or the amount of the time for lecturing. However, I still see other benefits that go with this program, that in addition to what we learn from the seerah, we still need to develop a lot of the skills that all Muslims require everywhere, like the spirit of a team or a group working together, like respecting time, like being able to present. There are many other benefits that we can achieve through this. And I know that the seerah is maybe too long to cover in such a program. However, we'll do our best to cover it. But as a teacher, I know sometimes what may work and what may have more effect than others. But we will try, as I promised, to keep it in a limited format. But we still need people to work together and to write together and to think together, because this is a very big gap among the Muslims everywhere, and we are trying to achieve it. I'll write a paper now. I'll start with myself, writing my name and my email address, and I'll pass it for anyone who wants to put his email address, and we will start forming a group, and we can communicate whether during this course or after that, inshallah. If you please kindly give me a paper and I'll start writing. Yes. The second issue I have today, I mean, just ask the brothers, have you prayed Duha today? Who did? How many of us prayed Duha? Wahid, name? Two, three brothers and sisters. One, two, Duha. The time between Subh and Dhuhr. Have you prayed Duha? None of us? Yes. I mean, as we said, that from the lessons that we got yesterday, that we need to learn from the seerah to apply. We need to put things in action. So we need to teach ourselves how to pray two rak'ahs in Duha or four rak'ahs or something like this. And when we come out, when we finish this program, we acquire a lot of things, a lot of habits, Islamic habits with us, inshallah, in addition to the learning. Because learning without applying them would be just some people, theorists or teachers or something like this. Why don't you join the group? Select any group. I think you'd better come to this group. Yesterday I asked a question, and I wish I can get an answer for it, which is, do you think that you are getting something of the course? You got something yesterday, or you didn't get anything yesterday? Did you learn something new? And did you learn it in a new way? I'd like to hear from you. Yes, you did. Who did not? Who didn't learn something new yesterday? We spent 3 hours. Who didn't learn anything new yesterday? Raise your hand. Okay. I got a couple of comments, and they were really nice. Some of them said that to help each other finish as much as possible of the program, please, when you make comments, when you ask questions, be very specific. And I'm telling you that you are the new generation, and we are suffering with the old generation, that when you are into one of the Islamic conferences, you find everyone wants to speak, and when he speaks, he wants to speak a lot of time, and he's not to the point, and he deviates or she deviates. And we really need to teach ourselves how to focus on the point and to save the time for all of us. And this is advice for all of us. It's not for just one person. And I thank the brother or the sister who gave me this comment. Today we are going to divide each group 5 people, and we want a facilitator. The one to facilitate things go into the group, and another one is a timekeeper, and we need to be very strict in this, because when I give you an assignment to deduce lesson from what I read or what I say, I'll give you 5 minutes only to finish the assignment. And in these 5 minutes, each one of you needs to talk for 1 minute, and then you will have 1 minute or 2 minutes left for writing what each group has done. What is going to happen is I'm going to read a section or to speak about a section of the seerah, a specific event. I'll focus on it. And while I am talking, you need to think of what are the lessons that you can come from it to save time. And then after you finish the section, which is usually takes 5 to 10 minutes, you start working on the assignment and discussing with each other what are the most 2 lessons. So each group would come up with 2 lessons that they would write them. And then when we finish, all of us, after 5 minutes, each group will read. One of you will be a reader or a reporter to read for me. For the sisters, I need them to send me a small paper or the card I send. And the moderator will read what the sisters wrote. We will start calling. How many groups with the sisters? 3? 3 groups with sisters? 3. So we have group 1. We call you group 1. Group 2, group 3, group 4, 5, 6. And the first thing that each group would select a name and would select a moderator or the facilitator and the timekeeper. This task would take only 2 minutes. Let's do this. Because you will write the name of the group on the paper, because by the end of the course, each group will compare what each group wrote. And the group that you have now, it will be with you for the coming 2 days. Please come closer, discuss. Yes. 2 minutes only. You are the timekeeper. Do you have a watch? Look for a watch. Okay. Timekeeper and facilitator and the other people. Timekeeper is that if you see one of them exceeding 1 minute, so you stop him, please. But you stop him very politely. Okay, so it's a very simple job. Facilitator is he is the same person. Facilitator and moderator is the same person. His job is to facilitate for the people who are discussing things. Now let's write. Now let's agree on this. Do you listen to me? Is it clear? Can you hear me? So what's going on? Send me a paper. Okay. Now each group will select one of them to be a facilitator, to be a leader, who is responsible for finishing the job or the task in the specific time. And they select a name for this group and they write the name of this group on the paper that you have. You have markers and papers. You just select any name. Sumayya, Amr, Ibrahim, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ghazwat Badr, select any name. It's up to you. And then you select among yourselves a timekeeper, the one who is responsible for not allowing anyone to exceed a minute in the discussion. This whole mission now would take you a couple of minutes. Select the name of the group and select the leader. You don't need to write the name of the leader. Just write the name of the group. Yes, on the paper, on the big sheet that you have, you will start working. One of you would be responsible for writing, and I hope his or her handwriting should be clear. Yes, write on the big sheet of paper. We are going to learn some organization, how to organize ourselves, how to come up with a product that each of us, inshallah, after the end of this program, he or she can teach the same course in a different place. I hope you face each other. You can face each other. Brother, face each other. Yes. Because you are going to discuss. Bring the two tables closer. Yes. Face me, Abdul Rahman. Face me, so you should sit there. Okay, we'll call group by group. Group 1 is not done yet. Group 2 is not done yet. Group 3, are you done? Okay, group 4, sister. Group 5, no response. I need to see a hand raised. Group 4, no. Group 5, group 6. Okay, we are going to evaluate the work of groups. Yeah. Are they complaining? I said the group that sits here, the first group of the sisters that sits here would be group number 4. And the second to it would be group number 5 and then the group number 6. And when you select a name, we will call you by your name. The name of the group, I mean. You see, didn't I say that we need to learn how to organize ourselves? This job should take less than 2 minutes. It's not a matter of learning just the seerah. We need to learn a lot of things. We live in a whole life. We need to organize ourselves. Some people send email now to 2 million people at one moment. Write group 1 and beside it the name of the group. Group 2, beside it the name of the group. Group 3 is the first group. Okay, what did you call your name? Huh? Taliban? Good. Group 1, did you select a name? Abdullah? Group 2, the brothers, good. Group 4, send me the name on a paper. No, we don't want sisters to speak, so send me the paper. Yeah. report. Okay, for every task, if it is done on time, the first group takes 6 out of 6. The first group that finishes the task takes 6 out of 6. And the others will take less and less and less depending on the time they finish the task. So we need to learn how to be very punctual. Yes. And now what will happen is group 3, which is Taliban, would take 6, and all other groups would take 5 out of 6. This would teach you that I'm very merciful, but next time it will go to 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. Okay, let's start now. Please, while I am reading or talking, I want you to focus. I want you to focus. I don't want you to keep yourself busy in writing anything. And when I give you the task, I ask you to start working together. If you start working together, I hope this is clear. The first thing usually we start with when we talk about the seerah, we need to understand the environment and the qualities of the people and the events that were happening at that time, because this gives us an idea of how to understand the events and how to understand the people. Because sometimes you find a thing is good when it is this situation, but when you compare it with other situation, you find it bad. So we need to know this. We need to know what was happening, the aspects of life at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What were some of the qualities of the Arabs before Islam comes? This is very important. Yes. If you can help me, I'll mention some. And if you can help me, you can come up with things that would be good. One of the qualities of the Arabs, they had something good and something bad about them. For example, I will not go in order, but you can open the page 43. Yes, you don't need to, but if you want, you can. Yeah. Some of the aspects of the Arabs. Yeah. First, they were very primitive people. Very primitive people. They lived a very primitive life in comparison with the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire at that time. So they led a very primitive life. This is one thing. The other thing... Sorry. The other thing is that they used to live a tribal life, and each tribe would have its own leader. Everything I say now will be significant in understanding the reaction when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a messenger of Allah. All these things are related to what will happen, inshallah, what we'll hear later on. You can take your own notes, because some of the things that I say are not written in your book. So you can write in your own notebook. So each group, each tribe had its leader. I don't know whether this is good or bad, but anyway, they lived in tribal life. And a third thing is that they used to dispute and fight and come to war for any trivial reason. Any slight thing that would happen between them, yes. A camel from here attacked a camel from the other tribe, this may lead to a war. That 50 people of this tribe were killed and 30 people of this tribe are killed. This is another thing. The third thing or the fourth thing, they used to be to love wine to the degree that they used to keep wine in their houses as they said, not in barrels, I'm sorry, not in bottles, but in barrels. Most of the Arabs, if not all of them, used to drink wine. The other thing is that they treated women badly, to the degree that the image about women, when one of them is given a daughter, his wife gives birth to a daughter, some of them would kill them, as Umar ibn al-Khattab did himself. He used to kill his own daughter while she was alive. He takes her and buries her alive. This was a very brutal thing. But according to the culture, they needed men just for one reason. It doesn't mean that they hated women, but for one of the reasons that they hated women is that they wanted men because when they fight each other, they would have a number of capable people to fight each other to conquer the other tribe. This was one of the reasons. What other things? What are other negative things about the Arabs? The what? Yes, they were gambling. They were drunkards. They believed in some sort of superstition. Very good. Another thing is that, very good, they were idol worshippers. Okay. Let me elaborate on this. They used to worship idols. We know all of us, Manah, Al-Uzza, and they have many other idols. Around the Kaaba, there were approximately 360 idols. They were around the Kaaba. By the way, this is very important to know in understanding the meaning of Tawheed. When they used to worship idols, they used to worship idols not as the ultimate God, but as what? As intercession to God, as something that takes them, helps them to come closer to God. In other words, they believed that God was there. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. And this is a very good linguistic point. When you see the lam, the beginning of the verb, and noon at the end of it, like لَيَقُولُنَّ, right? This is a very emphatic form. The lam plus the verb, and the verb ends with the noon. لَيَقُولُنَّ. So they infirm that. مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ? Who created the heavens and the earth? They would say, Allah, definitely. They have no doubt in this. So, in other words, they acknowledge that Allah is the creator. So when Muhammad came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was he inviting them to? If they already know that there is Allah, and Allah is the creator, he should be inviting them to something else, right? Yes, we will come to this later. So they know that there is Allah who is the one who created it. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inviting them to what? If you acknowledge that there is a creator, that means you need to worship and follow the commands of this creator. And that's what's happening now. That's what's happening around us. You find a lot of people, millions of people, they may say that Allah or God, there is God who created us. They have no problem in this. But what is their problem? Following the commands of this God. In other words, worshipping this God. And that's what the seculars do this. They have no problem in saying that there is God. But they have a problem of what? Of obeying this God. This is very important. This is very important. These are some of the bad qualities of the Arabs. They had some other bad qualities. But they had, at the same time, they had very good qualities. Very good qualities. Some of these qualities are, they never lied. I'm talking about the Arabs at that time, not nowadays. They never lied. They didn't know how to lie. Even if someone says a word and a group of people, they are going to kill him, if he said the truth, he's ready to say the truth and he's killed. He doesn't care. This was part of their good things. They used to say the truth. The other thing is that they were what? Very eloquent people. I'll give you an example of eloquence. How many of you wrote poems? Raise your hand. How? 1, 2, 3. Okay. How many of you wrote 100 lines of poetry? 100 lines of poetry. Sister, how many of you? Just raise your hand. I don't see. One hand. Try to find that we are 40 people approximately, and one of us only wrote 100 lines. The earth used to, someone would come in a place like this and he would start making a poem that may be 200 lines. And as soon as he finishes this, one of the other people who were sitting, yes, would respond to him, criticizing what he said by another poem. Just he makes it up like this in a moment. Have you ever seen a whole generation in the world like this? You don't find it anywhere in the world up to this moment. So one would make a whole poem and the other one would respond to him simultaneously. As soon as he finishes, the other one would respond to him by another beautiful poem criticizing what he said or saying a different viewpoint. So they were very eloquent. Okay. What does this mean? This will be very important when we know when the Quran came to them and they were very eloquent, they couldn't make something similar to the Quran. They used to dispute with each other, argue with each other by poetry. But when the Quran came, even they could not classify Quran. Is it prose? Is it poetry? What is that? It's something that we have never seen. We are the best people on the earth in doing this. But yet we cannot understand what is this. Right? That's why they called Muhammad first a poet. They called him a soothsayer. They called him a mad person. Because they couldn't interpret what type of book he brought. What type of the thing that he brought. Even they tried to challenge the Quran, as we will know later on, by making something similar to it. And one of them made a surah. By the way, do you know that in the internet now, there's a web page called Surah Like It. Have you ever visited it? Okay. Surah Like It. That means a verse like the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that if you really are capable of doing it, if you want to challenge the Quran, so make a surah like the Quran. And there is a human being somewhere in the world that is living, and he made something. And it is the webpage called Surah Like It. He made, I think, 3 or 4 verses trying to challenge the Quran. What happened in this webpage? He was smarter than the other one from one side, but he was more stupid than them from the other side. His smartness is what? He took some verses from the Quran, a chunk from here, and a chunk from the other surah, and a third chunk from here, and put them beside each other. For example, he said, قل يا أيها المسلمون إنكم لكافرون. So he takes the chunk or the context or the structure from the Quran and changes one word or two and rearranges them. And the best comment on this stupid guy I heard from Dr. Jafar Sheikh Idris. When I told him about this, he said that if this is the case, any one of us would be like Shakespeare. I would take the verses that Shakespeare made, and I take one poem from here, one chunk, one line from here, and one line from here, and put it beside each other, and I say that I did this. All of us will be like Shakespeare. And of course we are not, because we didn't come up with something new. We just took things that has been said and put them beside each other. The Arabs tried to write something about the Quran, as we will know, They even try to emulate Surat al-Fil. Yes. I think they wrote something like يسألونك عن الفيل قل له خرطوم طويل. So, and when they did this, the one who wrote this came to the Arabs and said, he was a disbeliever like them. He was a disbeliever, so they should encourage him. When he wrote something, they told him how stupid you are. You're telling us something very trivial and Muhammad is telling us something very great. How can you compare this to this? And this is one of the things, one of the good qualities about the Arabs. They didn't favor people. They were always looking for the truth. They didn't care what this truth comes from whom. So when their friend, one of the disbelievers, wrote this, yes, if we are living now, we should be very proud of it. But they were not very proud of it. They said that this is very silly. They themselves felt this. So this is one thing about the Arabs, that they were very eloquent. Most of them used to make poetry. And one thing about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was what? He never, ever made poetry. He was known among all the people. There was not a single poem that has been said by Prophet Muhammad. And this tells us the wisdom, yarhamukallah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind selecting those people at that time with those qualities and selecting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from them. If he was a poet, had he ever been a poet, he would say that it's some sort of